It appears the vast majority of the data is being supplied on a voluntary basis from all sorts of organizations, particularly organizations that handle communication, such as internet service providers, perhaps email providers. Names are not specified, so we don't want to accuse anyone in particular, but it seems that the vast majority of the information is being handled in a manner that does not require any sort of court orders, and it's been delivered on a voluntary basis. Now, I suspect I have been through most of those documents now, and I suspect that some of the information is being supplied by email providers or organizations that handle email as well. And the reason for this is because I can see, when you look into the sort of small print here, the information that is collected by the security services, again, this is very fresh, I'm still going through all this material, might include legally privileged information, journalistic information, that sort of information that quite often will be communicated via email. So there appears to be some sort of exception made where communications between journalists, perhaps between journalists and the sources, and even more significantly, communications between lawyers and the client might be also handled in the same way that any other sort of financial or sexual orientation or any other information is being handled. And that information appears to be delivered on a voluntary basis. Now, who on earth would be able to deliver communications between journalists and the sources or lawyers and the clients other than internet service providers or email services providers, those who have emails being transmitted through the servers? So it is rather worrying.
And why was the ISSC, the Parliament's Committee on Intel and Security, unaware of the programme for so long?
Well, there seem to have been attempts to conceal the nature of the information that is being obtained. Now, what was actually disclosed is not documents, is not data relating to specific individuals, but rather the policies that govern the collection of that data. And by reading those documents, we can understand what type of information is being handled and how that particular information is being handled. And again, I suppose that, you know, journalistic information or legal privilege information is it's a big no-no quite often in most civilized countries. And here we can see that this information is being just handled without any legal scrutiny to the security services.
You're the expert here, but I mean, how legal is all this?
It is very difficult to tell because, again, this is all very fresh. And looking at privileged information or privileged communications between lawyers and the clients, this is something that is regulated by law. So lawyers and clients' communications are absolutely privileged, and there are very, very strict laws against any third party being given access to this information. There are several laws that are concerning this particular issue. So, you know, how lawful the activity is, I suspect some of it might be borderline lawful. I'm also very concerned about the level of scrutiny over the retention and access to this information. And it's all being done and scrutinized by unknown and unnamed officials, which reminds us dark days in even darkest regimes. There are some officials that we don't know who they are, and they are the ones who are making all those decisions about the retention of very, very sensitive personal data.
Of course, much in the news recently, yeah, has been the fact that terrorists are getting increasingly more tech savvy. So how do they fit into the equation here?
The way the data appears to be used is the data that you're talking about is bulk personal data. So we're talking about very, very large personal data that no one can really tell what the data actually contains in terms of detail until someone actually goes into the data and starts sifting through it. So inevitably this will involve people going through various personal data and trying to link that data into other specific information that they have about specific individuals. So if we take a case of someone who's been suspected of planning a terrorist act, if there is a shred of information about their activity, that shred of information will receive reinforcement by the bits that we might be, or security services might be able to find in within the bulk data that they gather. So they might go through hundreds of emails or thousands of emails and might key some keywords of names or of code names and see whether there are any matches there that could help them verify the suspicions that an individual might be planning a terrorist attack, for example.
Seems to me that somebody might end up with a whole lot of useless data. There might be something important in between, but surely this could, in the long run, I mean, it could hamper the work of intelligence services, couldn't it?
Yes, it could. And ultimately, the integrity and security of preserving this data is very, very important. So we require a lot of people who will have access to the data, from trained security officers to supervisors to technicians to computer experts to a company that helps maintain the computers and update them. There will be quite a few people accessing this data, and potentially any of these people could be unlawfully perhaps stealing parts of the data and putting it perhaps in the public domain. And I haven't mentioned any attempts to hack into the computers or any sort of attempt to go into this data in electronic ways. And there seem to be a very lengthy duration during which the data is being retained. I mean, there's no time limit on how long this personal data could be retained. So say the security services are suspecting of an individual who is part of a sleeping cell, and that individual might be asleep, as we say, for 5 to 10 years. So that would inevitably justify retention of data relating to that individual and a lot of other individuals for that length of time. So it is quite worrying, I think.
And obviously you will be looking further into this.
Yes, I will be looking further into this. I'm still going through the documents that have been provided, and it is really a matter of reading between the lines and understanding the processes that the security services are going through and the type of authorization. And only by doing that and only by understanding what authorization is required can you actually figure out what type of information is being gathered.